I've been asked to give a testimony. In some ways, I'd rather give a message because that would be much easier. My desire in sharing with you out of my own life is for you to see the faithfulness of God, because I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. But Brett Yon said, if you don't tell some stories, I'm not going to come to Life Impact. So I wanted to share with you some stories and what God has done. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God who gives the increase. And back in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians in verse 26, he said, not many wise men, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And he goes on to say, God has chosen the weak. And in verse 30, he tells us why, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So anything that's happened in my life that amounts to anything is because of the grace and the goodness of God. And Isaiah 42:8 says, God said, I am God, and my glory will I not share with another. And so my desire is that the Lord be glorified, and that you might see, if God can do something with me, he can do something with anyone, and he can certainly do something in your life. In 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul said, what do you have that you've not received? And if you did receive it, why do you glory as if you had not received it? So I just want to give a testimony to the faithfulness of our great God. I became a Christian when I was about 7 or 8 years of age in a small church out in West Texas. We soon thereafter moved to another community at a later time. I felt like I was probably not a Christian and made another decision. And then I went away to Texas A&M. I never had been in a church where we had had much of a youth program, and so I never had grown a great deal. And later at Texas A&M, I arrived. It was an all-men school at the time, and I'd not done a great deal of growing as a Christian. The week before school starts, when they had freshman week, they one night said, all of you that are Baptists, if you'll go this way to the Baptist Student Center, and if you're a Methodist, they sent us another way, if you were Catholic, another way. And I went over with a group that night to the Baptist Student Center. I'd never heard of Baptist Student Union before, but that night some of the students shared testimonies, told us about the program there, and I can remember thinking that night, I'd really like to come back here. And I don't know if I'd ever made it back by myself or not, but I know the first day of class, an upperclassman came by my room, and a fellow by the name of Bert Thompson and invited me to come to the BSU. So that night, and there we had a thing we called Vespers each night for about 20, 25 minutes right after dinner. And so that night I decided I'd go. I asked my roommate to go, and there's another fellow in our room the time, and they were visiting. I invited them to go with me, and they said, no, we've got to study. So I walked over to the Baptist Student Center that night, and I remember I was very encouraged by what I heard. I walked back to the dorm, and when I got back there, my roommate and this other fellow were still just sitting around talking. They hadn't studied at all, and I can remember thinking that night, you know, if I cannot grow as a Christian without really setting aside some time, then I'm going to set aside that time. And I know that I'll have the time, because I even see my roommate and others wasting a great deal of time. So I just made the decision that I'd go each night. I would to BSU. I'd never miss BSU, and I would not miss church, and I did not during the time I was in school. I made that a priority. I can remember one night as a freshman, as it had been my custom in high school on Saturday night, I'd usually go to the movies. And one night I started walking across the campus, headed over to the movie, And I can remember stopping under a tree, and I could look over and see the marquee of that movie, and I thought, you know, I really don't need to go to the movie tonight. I ought to go back to my room and just get my Bible and really spend time with the Lord. And I can remember standing under that tree that night with a battle going on in my life, and I decided I'm going to go back to my room and just get my Bible and read it. And I was so glad I did, because I had a tremendous time with the Lord. In the dorm where I lived, since it was an all-men's school, many of the guys left on weekends to go date, and I had some very lonely times in the dorms, but it was time when I began to get to know the Lord. And I'll just share with you, you will not come to know the Lord without going through some lonely times. And sometimes some of the best things you can do, maybe it's on a Friday night or time when others may be dating or something, and when you could just spend time with the Lord. And I can remember just what a great time it was just getting into the Word and beginning to spend time to get to know God. I remember, too, as a freshman going over one night, and our BSU director's wife spoke. The Texas A&M had a week called Love, Courtship, Marriage, and the guys really always enjoyed that time. And one night she spoke, and I never will forget her message. She had 3 points. She talked about your God, your goal, and your gal. She talked about getting to know God, and then she talked about where you headed in life, and then your gal. And I can remember going up to her after that, and I said, you know, Ellen, I'm 500 miles away from home. I do not have a car. I do not have money. I do not have time to be dating. I'm trying to get into veterinary medical school. They only took 64 boys from Texas and Louisiana at the time. So you had to make good grades. And I said, you know, and there are lost people all around me and Christians I need to be trying to help. And I just need to be focusing on my relationship to God and my studies. And she said, Max, I'll agree with you. And I said, you know, Ellen, I don't believe that's going to limit God as to giving me the girl, leading me to the girl he wants to marry in due time. And she said, Max, I agree, but you'll just have to prove it in your own life. And I said, well, I will. And I walked back to the dorm that night just praying about that area of my life that God would in due time bring into my life the one he wanted me to marry. I can remember also going to BSU one night, and the BSU president was sharing about how that summer they led youth revivals in some of the small churches. And I remember one of the churches that he mentioned, and I'd been out to that little church, and just a very small country church. And I thought, you know, it's rather amazing to me that we'll go out here to these little bitty churches to speak, and we're on a campus at the time between 5,000 and 6,000 students, and yet we're not, I can't tell that we're doing anything to really reach them. So I went up to him and said to him, well, why aren't we doing something on the campus? Why don't we pick on somebody our own size? Why don't we talk to college students about the Lord? And that had to be a thought from God, because certainly wouldn't have been something that had popped into my mind as a freshman. And I can remember just thinking, I need to be witnessing to people on the campus. And one night I was praying and telling the Lord how I wanted to be what he wanted me to be. And when I got my veterinary hospital, I would try to give enough money to personally support a missionary. And that night, as I prayed, I could sense God saying to me very clearly, not in an audible voice. I guess that would have scared me to death, but just a deep impression is the way God often speaks to us. You need to be a witness here now. And that really scared me. And I told the Lord how much I planned to do for him after I got out of school. But I couldn't get the Lord to move off of that idea. I want you to be a witness here now. And I knew that night I had a decision to make, that if I was ever to be what God wanted me to be, I needed to be obedient. And I had a small New Testament that a Sunday school teacher had given me years ago when I was a boy. And one Christmas, the Sunday before Christmas, he had come to our little Sunday school class, and he said, fellas, I want to give each one of you a New Testament for Christmas, and I want you to write on the fly leaf 4 verses about witnessing, because you may not be interested now. And sure enough, we weren't all that interested, but he said, someday you may want to witness, and here's 4 verses you can use. And he wrote there for us Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, and Acts 16:30 and 31. Just a basic gospel presentation. So I reached in my drawer, got that little New Testament, and thought, I'll go down the hall and find someone I can witness to. Well, I walked down the hall. I saw a door open, a boy sitting at his back to the door, and sitting there studying, and I stood there and looked at him for a moment, and I was scared to death. And so I walked on down the end of the hall, and I read the bulletin board, and I prayed for courage to talk with him. I came by, looked at him again, went down the other end of the hall and got a drink. And I walked by again and looked at him and went on down and read the bulletin board, and I went back and got another drink. And I don't know how many times I walked back and forth in front of his room. And each time I was hoping he wouldn't be there, but he was always there, and just praying God would give me the courage. And eventually I knocked on his door sill and just walked in and told him I was a student there from down the hall, just like he was, but because of what Christ meant to me, I wanted to share it with him. That's one of the hardest things I ever did. But I began to witness, and so one night, the boy that lived next door came in, and he also went to the BSU, and he said, you know, Max, so we were talking, he said, I've never led anybody to the Lord. And we called him Dunk, and I said, Dunk, do you really want to? And he said, yes. And I talked to him just like I was an old pro at it or something, and I said, well, why don't we go witness and let's go every night until somebody accepts the Lord. And he said, well, man, I've got a paper due tomorrow. And I said, well, I've got a test, but it won't take long. The dorms is full of them. Let's just go talk to somebody. So we went together and we began to witness. And sure enough, before long, a guy became a Christian. Now, Dunk had a job driving a laundry truck up to the military base just outside town. And he'd pick up soldier boys hitchhiking back and forth to town. And that spring semester, he came in and told me of 17 guys that he felt like had come to know the Lord as a result of his witness. Now, as we began to witness, we began to see God do some terrific things. I remember a fellow down the hall from me, and he had been married and divorced. He had been in Korea, had been in the Marines. He was a very hardened fellow of the gospel, even claimed to be an atheist. So one night, I walked down to his room a Saturday night, and I began to talk with him. I said, Mac, have you ever thought about becoming a Christian? He just started laughing. He said, I'm not even sure there's a God. And I said, well, why don't you pray and ask God to let you know if he really does exist? And I said, you know, I've got a little Gospel of John, and at church I'd picked up a little Gospel of John, and I didn't know exactly how to witness to him. And I said, but this is a story about Jesus, and I'll just give it to you. And why don't you read it? And I said, have you ever read the Bible? And, well, no, not really. And I said, why don't you read this and you pray? And I say, God, if this is true, Jesus is your son, I want you to let me know. And he just laughed. He said, I don't know why to pray. He said, I don't know if there's a God to hear. I said, Mike, I cannot walk in here. Or, Mac, I cannot walk in here and prove to you that there's a God. But I know there is, because I know the way I once lived, I know the way I live now, and I know the difference is Jesus Christ. And so why don't you just pray and say, God, if you exist, I want you to let me know. And so I left it with him. And the next weekend, I went down again, and I said to him, most of the fellows in their dorm were gone for the weekend, and I went down on Saturday night. I said, Mike, have you been reading the Gospel of John? And he just kind of grinned. He said, well, I've been busy. I said, what are you doing tonight? And he said, nothing. I said, sit down. Let's read the Gospel of John. So we did, and we just sat down, and I'd read to him. We'd talk about it. Maybe he didn't understand it. Maybe he didn't agree with it, but at least he saw what it said. So we read, and I spent a couple of hours with him, I guess. I went back, prayed for him the next week. I went back. I said, Mike, you been reading the Gospel of John? He said, well, no, I've been busy. I said, what are you doing tonight? Well, nothing. Well, sit down, let's read. So we read the Gospel of John. And we'd just mark what we'd read before and came back and just read and talk about it. I went back to my room one night, and one of my roommate was also a fellow that went to the Baptist Student Union with me. And I never will forget that night as we knelt before we went to bed. I never will forget what my roommate prayed. He said, God, get hold of Mac and don't let him study or sleep until he makes things right with you. We didn't tell anybody what we'd prayed. A few days later, his roommate came down. He said, you know, something's really bothering my roommate. Said he just mopes around. Said he acts like he's lovesick or something. I don't know what's wrong with him, but something is. You know, it didn't dawn on me. I didn't even think about what was going on. And one night I came in from church. I walked into the lobby of the dorm, and just as I did, he was coming down the hall, walked into the lobby, and he saw me, and he headed straight for me, and he said, listen, I need to talk to you. He came over and grabbed me by the arm, and he said, I am ready to become a Christian. He said, I have not slept or studied for a week. And believe me, he looked like it. We went down to his room. We got on his knees. He asked Christ to come into his life. Boy, the tears flowed. The next few days, we could hear him up and down the hall singing. I mean, it was obvious a change had come into his life. A few years ago, one night I answered the phone, and it was this young man. He said, Max, I graduated. He said, I have two daughters now that are grown. And he said, you know, over 30 years ago, I just want you to know that what happened to me at Texas A&M has been real. And Jesus Christ has been with me all this time. He said, I called the Texas A&M just to try to get your address to make contact with you. So we saw God do some great things. On an average, through the students there at the BSU, we saw an average of two people a week accept the Lord for about a year and a half. We began to get opportunities and calls from other BSUs and churches to go share with them what God was doing and to try to lead witnessing clinics. We began to do that some on weekend, and the day came we were getting more invitations than we could take, than we could handle. So one weekend we had a retreat, and our BSU director and others, we all got together and we prayed, and the group felt that two of us ought to drop out of school and just travel for that year and share what God was doing and lead witnessing clinics and try to teach students how to witness. As we prayed, the group felt, and it was confirmed by the group and what we felt in our own heart, my roommate and I should drop out of school and just travel and speak. And so we did. And I want to share a couple of things with you. Nearly everywhere we went, we were on a campus anywhere from 3 to 10 days. A man in Houston bought us a used car, and we headed out. And so, towards the end of the semester, and we saw God do some amazing things. We'd go into a BSU, we'd speak, we'd try to find students that were interested, we'd take them out on the campus, we'd witness, we'd try to get them having a quiet time, memorizing scripture, trying to help them to grow. And we had been in Richmond, Virginia the week before, and I'd had the flu and been in bed, and I tried almost every waking moment just to pray because I felt like God wanted to do something. We had about 1 week before finals were to start on most of the campuses. We received a call from Moorhead, Kentucky, from the BSU director there, and this lady said she had just graduated the year before, had a small BSU, but she said, I feel like God wants to do something on the campus. I've heard about you fellows. Would you come? My roommate told her, said, well, no, we're due to be back on another campus next week. Mac's been sick, and we just couldn't even split up at this point and do it. Well, a couple of days later, and I had just been praying, and I'd heard my roommate answer the phone. A couple of days later, she called back, and I said, let me talk to her. And I just felt like I should go, and my roommate and I talked about the situation. He decided he'd go back for a follow-up visit on one of the campuses where we'd been before, and I would go to Moorhead, Kentucky. I got there, and on Saturday night, we had our little witnessing clinic, and there were probably 5 or 6 students from the BSU. And the next day being Sunday, we didn't have anything other than a regular church and that we attended. And so on Monday night, we met back for a witnessing clinic that invited friends. There were probably around 15 students or so, and I talked with them about witnessing. Most of these students have been Christians less than a year. Some of them had been saved in a revival at the First Baptist Church here about 9 months before. And so I could see they were scared to death of witnessing, and so a thought came to my mind. I said to some of the fellows, why don't you go ahead of me to one of the men's dorms? There were 2 men's dorms on the campus, 2 women's dorms, and so we decided which men's dorm we would use. And I said, why don't you go knock on the doors, invite the fellas to come down to the lobby, and I'll come in and share a testimony, and you can see the ones that are interested and follow them to their rooms and witness to them. And I thought that kind of helped break the ice for them. Well, that night at 10 o'clock, I was due to be over at the dorms after the witnessing clinic. Some of the guys left to go over the dorm. I went over at 10 o'clock, and I could not believe what I saw. There were fellas everywhere, all over the lobby, in the lounge area. And so I immediately went to one of the boys that had been at the BSU, and I said to him, how did you get all these people here? And he said, well, we just went around and knocked on the door and told them we were having a dorm meeting. Now, finals were to start on Wednesday morning. And I said to him, did you tell them the nature of the meeting? And he said, no, we just told them to come down the lobby. We were having a dorm meeting. And so we found out what a lot of them thought is that the dorm master had called a meeting and, you know, you had to check out if you'd broken anything, you couldn't get your grade, all that kind of stuff. And so they thought the dorm master had called a meeting, and that's why it was, they thought it was compulsory that they be there. And I thought, oh no. And I thought, God does not have to use deceptive means. And so I stood up and said, fellas, if you were deceived in the reason you're here tonight, you can leave right now. It will not hurt my feelings. But before you go, I want to tell you something. If you stay for the next 20 minutes, I am going to tell you how Jesus Christ changed my life. And I'm going to tell you how He can change your life. And fellas, what you need, some of you more than anything else in the world, is you need that to happen to you. Because if you do not give your life to Jesus Christ, you're going to mess up your lives. And you know what? You're going to marry a girl and you're going to mess up her lives. And you're going to have kids and you're going to mess up their lives. And so, if you stay for the next 20 minutes, I'm going to tell you how you can come to know Jesus Christ, have a meaningful life here, and spend eternity with Him. So, if you're interested in hearing about that, you can stay. The rest of you feel free to leave. And there was silence, and nobody moved. And so, for the next about 20 minutes, I shared something of my own testimony. I shared the gospel as simply as I knew how. At the end of 20 minutes, I said, well, we'll stop at this point. If you're interested in talking further about becoming a Christian, I want you to stay. The rest of you feel free to leave. And there was absolute silence. You could have heard a pin drop. Nobody moved. I said, fellas, if you're not interested in talking further about becoming a Christian, would you please leave so we can talk with those that are? Nobody moved. I didn't know exactly what to do, and I said, now let me go through this one more time to make sure you understand. So I again shared the gospel as simply as I knew how. Again, the same thing. Nobody would leave. So finally, I said, guys, you can sit here all night. I will not cheapen the gospel to get any one of you to say you'd become a Christian. As I understand it, when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, He will come in. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will be working on you for the rest of your life to try to get you to be the person you ought to be. So, if you're interested in turning your life over to Jesus Christ, and I open my Bible to Romans 10:13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I laid the Bible down the middle of the floor, and I said, I want you to come, because it's whosoever means you. And I want you to come and just put your finger on that verse and we'll claim that promise and ask Christ to come into your life. I laid the Bible down on the floor. Guys began to get up and come and begin to kneel around the Bible. Pretty soon you couldn't even get close to the Bible. So we took them in groups and began to try to deal with them. I was amazed. We stayed there till the wee hours of the morning talking with guys. The next day is all over the campus what had happened. That morning, I told the BSU director, I've never seen God do a work like this. I want to go up in the mountain there and just spend the hills. The campus was kind of in the valley. So I went up on the hill and took my Bible to spend the morning with the Lord. You know, sometimes when God moves, people talk about joy and things, but I'd never felt any dirtier in my life. And just really tried to make sure everything was right between me and God. I came down I told the BSU director I'd be down around noon. When I walked down at noon, there were already people gathering there in the little BSU office, which was down in the basement of the girls' dorm. Now, the night before, on the way to the campus, in the restaurant where I stopped to eat, I had left a track. Some pastor had given me this track. He'd given me two of them. I'd already given one of them away. I wanted to read this one to see what I could learn about presenting the gospel. But when I got ready to leave, the waitress was back in the kitchen or somewhere, and I needed to leave to go to the campus meeting. So I laid a tip on that track, which she'd be sure and pick it up. That day when I came down off of the mountain, walked in, this girl was sitting there in a chair. She had that track all crumpled up. It was wet. She said, "You know, last night I picked this up in a restaurant." She said, "I've been up all night." And she was crying. She said, "I want to become a Christian." Her boyfriend had been saved the night before and had told her about where she could get some help. And so she'd come there to the BSU office. That day, as far as I know, I talked to about 20 people individually. And as far as I could tell, 19 of them accepted the Lord. That night, I was due to speak again at our little witnessing clinic. They were bringing in chairs, pastors and others had heard what was happening. The place was packed. And so I shared as best I knew how about witnessing. And I said to one of the girls that afternoon, "Why don't you see if I can speak in the girls' dorm tonight?" She said, "Oh, you don't know our dorm mom." Said, "There's no way she would have you come speak." I said, "Well, go ask her. Let's pray and you go ask her." She came back and said she would be delighted for me to come speak. Now, that night after the witnessing clinic, I was to go immediately. We had started, I think, our little witnessing clinic about 7, and about 9 I was to speak in the girls' dorm. At 10 I was to speak in the men's dorm where I'd not been the night before. So I went over to the girls' dorm. They'd invited girls from the other dorm over. I walked in the lobby that night, and I mean, that's like heaven to an Aggie. I mean, here were all these girls. I couldn't believe it. And the finals were to start the next morning, so I know they had plenty to do. So I just stood up, told them I want to share my testimony, which is a very simple testimony, and share with you how you can become a Christian. As I began to speak, one girl began to cry. And then over here, another girl began to cry, and then a third girl. And I thought, I don't want this to be some emotional meeting. I tried to speak very slowly and deliberately. And after a few minutes, I said, after I'd kind of presented the gospel, I said, "We're going to have a word of prayer. If you're interested in talking further about becoming a Christian, I want you to go out the door, down underneath the stairway, down the hall to the little BSU room down there, and I'll meet you there in a few minutes." Because I did not want this to be some emotional deal. I wanted it to be, if people became Christians, they really were not just caught up in the emotions, but were really making a decision. So I started for the door, so did the girls. I thought some of them would be walking back to the dorm, but they just turned, went under stairs, the hallway was full, there was girls all over the place. Well, the girls in the BSU, one of the reasons we were doing this in the first place is for them to see those that were interested and talk with them. So each one of them had a little huddle of girls around them. I had three girls sitting down on the couch. I began to talk with them, girls standing around. And so I talked with them and tried to lead them to the Lord. And then I looked at my watch. It's 10 o'clock, and I was already supposed to be at the men's dorm. So I had my Bible and ran across the campus. When I walked in that night, there again, I was amazed. People all over the lobby. There were chairs set up. It was kind of a lounge TV area. And there was one chair in front that was vacant. There were fellas standing. There was a doorway behind me, one in front of me, over ways, and students standing around there as well as in the lobby. And so I said, "Guys, if you came to hear a great message, you came to the wrong play, a great sermon. I just want to tell you again how you can become a Christian." As clearly as I knew how, I began to speak and share the gospel. A fellow pushed his way through the group that was behind me, came in, and walked right beside me and stood there for just a moment, looked at me, and then sat down in that vacant chair. And I thought that was rather strange. After about 20 minutes or so, I closed in prayer. This fellow stood up in front of me, and he said, "Listen, I'm an atheist." He said, "I got here kind of late, He said, there's just one thing I want to know, and that is, how do you become a Christian? And he was trembling like a leaf. I said, anywhere, anytime you're willing to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, ask him to come in. He promised he would. He said, I would do anything. Now, here are all these people watching. Absolute silence. And I said, well, let's get on our knees and pray and ask Christ to come into your life. So we prayed. He stood up. And I said, what happened? He said, I feel like someone just took a weight off my back. I said, great, but did you ask Christ to come into your life? He said, yes. I said, did you mean it? And he said, yes. I said, what happened? He said, man, I feel great. So let me ask you a question. Did you ask Christ to come into your life? Yes. Did you mean it? Yes. Then what happened? He said, he came in. He turned around and began to share his testimony. He said, guys, you all know what a dorm clown I've been, but I'm not clowning tonight. Why don't you come and give your life to Jesus? I noticed a fellow happened to be the bowling coach on his knees over in the corner. So I left the service in this boy's hand, and I walked over and knelt beside him to try to lead him to the Lord. And there's one of the fellas on the football team that had been saved the night before. I saw him do this a number of times. He would just go tap somebody on the shoulder and say, why don't you come and give your life to Jesus? So we dealt with people till the wee hours of the morning. I don't know how many people became a Christian. I came away with the names of quite a few that I prayed for. And you know, I left there and went to one other school, and their school was out a little later, went to Tennessee Tech. And God did a tremendous work there in some guys' lives. And the night before I was to leave, we were meeting in a house with four, five, six guys that were really interested. And I said, fellas, this summer I've got to work in order to go back to school next fall. Many of you have to work. Why don't we move somewhere? Just rent a house. We'll live together. We'll work. We'll join a church, witness through that church. We'll come in at night. We'll read the Bible. We'll pray. We'll memorize verses. I'll teach you everything I know about the Lord. I may not know much more than you do, and I'll teach you everything I know. So we talked about that. I was supposed to catch a bus the next morning at 5 o'clock to go to Ridgecrest, North Carolina for student week. We met with those guys until 3 o'clock in the morning. I knew if I laid down, I'd never catch a bus, so I just wrote some letters, caught the bus at 5 o'clock. When I got to Ridgecrest, I met a fellow there that I knew from Texas, one of the Baptist student directors, and he said, Max, there's a fellow here from the Billy Graham team. Said I'd gone to Baylor with him. We graduated from Southwestern Seminary. And he said he's worked with Billy Graham in the area of follow-up. And said he's going to come to my room this afternoon, talk to some of my students, said, would you like to come? Well, I'd heard of Billy Graham, and I said, sure. So I went to his room that day. There were five or six of us sitting around in a little apartment at Ridgecrest. And Waylon Moore was there, and he began to tell us about Dawson Trotman. He said, you know, Dawson was the kind of guy, he would have fellows to live with him. Said they'd work during the day, they'd witness. Said at night, they'd read the Bible, pray, they'd memorize verses. He'd teach them everything he knew about the Lord. I could not believe what I was hearing. I mean, I wanted to sit there that day and just weep. I thought, you know, it's almost like he had had a tape recorder and had heard what I told some guys just before I came to Ridgecrest. And he told us about Dawson Trotman and his vision for training men, the value of an individual training him. And you know, I'd seen a lot of people come to know the Lord, but I knew that day the vision for my life just cleared up. I had breakfast with Waylon the next morning. I went back to Texas A&M praying, God, if I never see but one other guy become a Christian, I want to see a lot of people become Christian, but if I only see one, I want to train him. I want to help him. I want to multiply spiritually so that many, many people can be reached. And so I went back to Texas A&M with that in mind. I was in church one day, and a boy made a decision. I went by. I was the last one in line to meet him as he was presented to the church. I asked him that day I said, David, did you become a Christian? He said, oh, yeah, I just accepted the Lord. So we took him across to the Baptist Student Center that night, and I said, David, you know, and I'd even told him this over to church. I said, you know, What happened to you today is what Jesus called the new birth. It's a beginning of a new life. And let me tell you, the longer you live, the better it gets if you walk with the Lord. And I'd like to help you grow. And he said, oh, I'd really like that. So we went over that night. We went over verses on assurance to make sure you knew the Lord. I said, David, I've got to be out of town Monday and Tuesday on a field trip. We get back to the campus about 10 o'clock. Could I come by your room? He said, yeah, I'll be up late studying. Come on by. I went over to his room on Tuesday night. When I walked in, we began to talk. He said, you know what? I was just sitting here wondering before you walked in. And I said, no, what's that? And he said, how can you be sure you're a Christian? Now, Sunday night, he felt like he had really accepted the Lord. We tried to nail it down. We went over some verses. When he left that night, he knew he was a Christian. Now, here 2 days later, he was having doubts. So that night, we talked about it again. We went over some verses. We prayed, tried to be sure. I said, the Lord wants you to be sure. He doesn't mind asking you again if you, just in order for you to be sure. And so we prayed, and I began to meet with him. He was next to the oldest of 11 children. He had not done well the first semester in school. This was the spring of his freshman year. He was working. It was on daylight call to quarters, which means any time between 8 and 5 that he was not in class, he had to be sitting at his desk studying. He had 2 30-minute segments during the day that he could call his own. I asked him to give me one of those 30-minute segments, and I'd meet with him every day for 30 minutes. Sometime I'd see him coming. There's a little chapel nearby, and between our dorms we could meet there, and I could catch him on the way to the dining hall as he went to work. And sometime I'd see him coming, I'd think, oh God, what am I going to do with him today? We'd pray, and many times God would give us ideas. We'd have a tremendous time. He went back to his dorm. He began to have a real witness there. He brought over another fellow. This guy became a Christian. It wasn't long till another fellow. I know where those three guys are today, and they're still walking with the Lord. One other thing I think might be of interest to you. One night I was home over Christmas, and I was in the kitchen reading the Bible, and Mom came in and said, son, you need to go to bed. You look bad. You're so thin. And well, I've never looked any way but bad all my life. And so I got up and went to bed, and Mom and Dad went to sleep in another room, and I said, Lord, I'm not going to be disobedient to my parents, but I really feel like I need to get time with you. And I had peace about getting up, going into the kitchen quietly, turning on the light. And that night I felt especially led to pray for a wife. I came across Proverbs 18:22, says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. Now, I was using King James, a New American Standard, NIV. Some of those were not out when I was in college, back a few years after the flood. And so it says here, a wife is a good thing. And girls, you may not be appreciate being called a good thing, but that's what King James Version says. Immediately, a verse came to my mind I'd memorized some time ago, Psalms 84:11. The Lord God is the sun and the shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. There was that good thing again. No good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. And then Psalms 34:10 came to my mind I'd memorized some time before. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want for any good thing. There was that good thing again. I'm not saying, I don't know if God will ever tie those verses together for someone else like he did for me, but I knew God was speaking to me that night. And so, that night I claimed a wife from the Lord. And it says, walk uprightly and seek the Lord. And I wrote down, I still have those notes that I wrote that night. God, you know, for the last 4 years, I've earnestly tried to seek you and walk uprightly. And in due time, God, I trust you to lead me the one that you want me to marry. And when you do, I want to share with her Psalms 34:3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. We quoted that verse in our wedding vows. And God provided a wonderful wife. You know, I was at a conference too after my junior year in college. Happened to be in Colorado, and Lawrence Sanney was speaking, and he said, while you're here this week, why don't you ask God to give you a promise for your life? I went out that afternoon under a pine tree, took my Bible, and I said, Lord, I don't want to just do this because the speaker says, but if you have for something for my life, I want to know. I thought, I know where there's some promises. I'll just go look at one. And I thought, no, that wouldn't be God giving me a promise. I've been reading in Isaiah. I'd read a while, I'd pray a while. And then I felt the Lord, a strong impression, saying, Max, what do you really want for your life? And I said, God, I want men. Since I was at an all-men school, I thought in terms of men. God, I want men. And I thought, well, not everybody's a man. God, and this verse, this prayer formed in my heart, God, give me men and give me people. I'd pray a while and read a while, and then when that thought came to my mind, and I prayed, God, give me men and give me people. I'd been reading in Isaiah, and after I prayed that prayer, I'd been reading, I'd stopped, I prayed that prayer, and then I picked up reading where I was before I prayed that prayer, and the next verse was Isaiah 43:4. It says, since you were precious, since you were honorable, precious, you are honorable in my sight, and I have loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. And boy, I just kind of looked around. I knew God was there, and God gave me that promise. Now, let me just say this. I know sometime when Isaiah wrote, he didn't have in mind me being out under a pine tree. If I were teaching a book of Isaiah, I would not teach that as doctrine. But sometimes God speaks to give direction. And God gave me that promise, and I claimed it, and that God would give me men and people, and I am living to see that fulfilled. God has been faithful. And I just want to encourage you, walk with the Lord. Your days in college can be so tremendous, tremendous time to get into the Word. You, when you get out of college, for a lot of you younger, you can have a few hundred verses that you've well memorized. Walk with God. Give your life to walking in Him. We have a faithful God, and give your life to making disciples. May God bless you. Thanks.